medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. I'm Paul Hogcooper, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm the Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Chandra Wabshaw, Manager of Business Applications at Brightview Landscapes. Today, we are picking up on our conversation with Darren, Peggy, and Rochelle regarding interviewing BAs and how we identify talent. We hope you've enjoyed the conversation thus far. And with that, we continue.
One of the questions I saw from you, Peggy, was about capturing documentation, that we have to be disciplined in our documentation and our notes, change control, all of that is important, that people aren't just, it's not the Wild West, so to speak, right? Again, I look at something like AI as something that could maybe facilitate some of that as well, or that documentation that you're capturing is something that could be fed to be used as basically a resource down the road to refer back to without having to sift through all the pages and pages and pages of documentation that you captured potentially. So,
yeah, that's definitely something that's important to our team, is the capturing of documentation and the reference to, like, if we found something with another source or if we found an answer on ChatGPT or some other source that we were using. We want to make sure that in our tickets that we capture whatever research was done, what testing was tried, how we tried to recreate the problem, because the business analyst who starts working on the problem isn't always the person who finishes working on the problem. So if we don't know what the first person has done, the teamwork suffers. So I do look for the documentation, research notes, and that sort of thing, because it's really important for our team and the other people that they'll be joining on our team. So,
yeah. So you want to know that they A, value it, and B, it's also just a reflection of the teamwork aspect, right? That they want to share, that they want to capture and share and help one another. So,
yeah, absolutely. And often when we've tested a problem and resolved it, we often write up instructions for the user group to now go off and use this new bit of functionality or change to their process. And so good documentation is not only for our internal teamwork, but also for our user group's teamwork as well.
Nice. I mean, you guys' thoughts on that, Rochelle or Darren?
Sure. I think in an hour interview, it's hard to really get their true version of good documentation. I mean, you might be like, hey, we kind of joke about it. Like, you guys like to do documentation? Like, oh, yeah. Okay, I'm really good at documentation. And then they come in. And then you're like, that's your version of good documentation. So I don't app that other than kind of joke about it a little bit. But then when they come, you know, they become an employee, like, this is our expectation for documentation. So,
wow.
Who likes documentation? I mean, serious coaching is required. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Have you seen one of Chandra's, either her OneNote or her marathon training plans as far as documentation is concerned? Anyway,
they're
sorry.
A bit over the top, aren't they? I did show you that.
Wow.
Recovering accountant. That's all I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. Darren, how about you for documentation? Is that something you do cover in an interview process?
It is not. I don't know if I've got enough questions to be able to ask them to get to that level of what they're doing. I know it's important. I don't discount that. And we all hope everybody's really good at it, but by the time it's done, everybody's got a different judgment of what's good and what the company expects. So that's something we usually handle whenever they first get on board.
That is true. There's definite levels of differences of expectations from company to company about documentation. You may be a publicly held, publicly traded company or government. That level of documentation might be very, very different than a smaller, privately held entity. And what needs to be documented for SOX purposes and what needs to be documented for USDA, maybe your USDA. So there's definitely a lot of differences from company to company or documentation. So,
and for the recovering accountant, your auditors require a different level of documentation as well. So you have to be careful on what you put on those as well.
Right. Put enough, but not too much. One of the questions that I like to ask as well, Darren, you had noted this. Tell me about a time when you worked with an unhappy customer and how you went about helping that customer. It's definitely a way to gauge that emotional intelligence, right? Because we do have unhappy customers. I know you have no unhappy customers.
That's right. My customers are very happy.
You've never experienced an unhappy customer knocking on your door because your software is perfect.
I mean, if they are unhappy, they're very soon not my customer. So it's as simple. You just eliminate the ones that aren't happy, and then you get nothing but happy customers.
See how that works?
True. All right. We do have unhappy customers, and we do have to deal with them. And it's not by cutting them off. No. It's by being empathetic and listening.
Right. Emotional intelligence, Paul. Emotional intelligence. He's working on it. It's okay. Aren't we all? Right? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We all have those moments where you're having a bad day and somebody comes at you with something and you are short and you know you don't want to be. You don't mean to be, but it happens. But in an interview, you know, I think being able to assess how they handle difficult or upset individuals is very important because it does happen. It is part of our life.
Mm-hmm. I've had answers such as they were talking about when they worked at like a grocery store back in high school or college, and they would have somebody coming up unhappy about a price or whether something was in stock, and they would explain kind of how to calm the customers down. So the creativity I get back on those answers are really good, but it definitely shows that in stressful situations, they had the ability to kind of diffuse the emotion first and get to the root of the problem.
Yes, that is very important. And it is a skill. Rochelle, is that something you also try to assess? Even though I know you go based upon resume, people don't necessarily put that on there, but.
Sure. That question has not come up as part of our regular interview process. It may lead to that as part of another question, but it's not like a specific question that we ask.
Okay. How about you, Peggy?
We do get there often, kind of like Rochelle said, that we don't necessarily ask that specifically, but get to that during questioning. And I'm looking for things like active listening, right? That they're actively listening to the user who's having the issue and upset, and trying to glean bits of information with which they can ask another active question or find out a little bit more information on how they might be able to solve the problem or what options they might be able to give to the user to get around the issue that they're having, especially if they're upset in the moment and are feeling the pressure with a deadline or something like that, how they can get to it and we can do a larger fix a little later. So it's good to hear candidates when they are trying to be creative and help someone solve the problem in the moment and keep them, you know, at room temperature rather than 125 degrees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Rather than escalate it even further.
Exactly. I'll take Peggy's answer.
I'll take Peggy's answer for 500, please, Alex. 500,
please. Thank you.
That's explaining what we kind of like derive out of the interview as well.
Nice. We haven't talked about the very most important question that I ask business analysts.
What's that?
Are you a dog person or a cat?
A cat person.
Do you really ask it?
Sometimes. It depends on whether the candidate has offered anything about, you know, their pets or something like that. And then we get into a little bit of a dog cat preference sort of a situation. We have 3 dog people on our business analyst team, and we have 1 hybrid cat dog person.
Hybrid.
So
that's the definition of hybrid.
Right. She might lean a little bit more toward the cat side, but she also has the dog. So
are you partial to the dog?
I am a dog person. I do not discriminate against cats.
Yeah.
That's good because I have 3 cats here.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Do you find like dog people to be like extroverts and cat people to be introverts, or is there any correlation there, or are you just wanting to know what their preference is because it's a great conversation starter? I mean, what
it's more a team vibe. Right?
Okay.
Because our team will post a photo of their pets or their child or their whatever's happening. And so it's kind of fun to know somebody, especially if somebody's close to the line, like they're maybe going to get an offer. It's great to know that because then we can share a little bit more information about the team and I can have something to relate to anybody on the team about.
So when they come back and they're like, no, I feed the cats to my boa constrictor. It's like, that's probably not going to work out.
Probably not going to work out.
Just clarifying.
No.
Where's the boundaries? Got to have boundaries. Got to have lines.
Boundaries are important.
When you guys are interviewing folks, do you ask about what attracts them? Like, what about the position are they attracted to or interests them the most?
I've asked questions about, like, why did you apply at our company? And I'm trying to find out whether they've done a little bit of research about what our company does. And then I do ask them, what about this type of job? Especially if they're brand new and haven't been in a business analyst type job before, what is it that you're curious about with this kind of job? What makes you feel like this might be a good fit for you? For somebody who's been a business analyst before, is more, what do you like about the job? What is your favorite sort of thing to do? And then you find out whether they're more technical or what are more functional, right? They like to dabble in coding. What do I mean technical? If they're completely process oriented, I love to work with the accountants to improve their processes so that they're quicker, faster, less clicks, you know, that sort of thing. They're a little more on the functional side.
Okay. How about you, Darren?
So we have a panel that goes in interviews. It'll be myself. It'll be maybe somebody else from the department and another one of the business analysts. We'll have somebody from HR and then maybe somebody from another department. So those kind of questions HR usually handles comes in. What drew you to the company? What drew you to apply for this? And they've got specific things they're looking for. I'm always listening for the answers to see kind of what their interests are. Well, I heard the company was a good company to hire for. Okay, well, what drew you to the job? Why did you think this job would be a good fit and go through there? But
that makes sense.
It's amazing the different answers that you'll get. And like you were mentioning, Peggy, to the age, are you like new into, you know, you're younger and so you're just starting out your career and you had one job before. And so what is it you're looking for? If you're leaving your former job, what is it you're looking for to get out of this job? Or if you've worked for a long time in a business analyst space or in JD Edwards, maybe we have two positions open and we're looking to fill a couple of them. What do you want to do? If the answer is like, I'll do whatever, that doesn't tell me anything. Mm-hmm. You'll do whatever until you get here, and then you're going to not want to do what we say is the whatever. So, you know, like you, and like at this point in your career, if you're like changing jobs and you're nearing the end of your career, like what is it you're looking for to fulfill the remainder of your working years? What are you looking for? So those are definitely things that we inquire about when we're wondering, you know, what drew you to this job?
I believe it was early on, we talked about, I think we were talking about what makes a good BA, and Chandra brought up curiosity. You have to have a healthy curiosity for things. Mm-hmm. So sometimes as a user of this system, if you want to know what's behind the scenes and how it actually works and what makes it work, that sort of thing. And that's where I was kind of going with that question is, how do you gauge curiosity, right? Because you really want someone that's self-starting and willing to pick at things and try to dig and understand them. And so it's like, what about this job do you like? You know what I mean? It's like, how do you get that out of them? Because if they're really not curious and they're just like, tell me what to do, that's just not going to work.
That's true. That's true. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. And sometimes I think that's a little bit of a gut feel based upon how they respond to other questions that you ask them. You can kind of get a feel for if they are curious individuals, especially if they get excited about telling you about something that they've solved. Mm-hmm. That tells me usually that they're kind of curious people. They wanted to get to the root of it. They're excited to share that. That kind of tells me they're curious. That's how I read it. Does anybody else Same. Agree?
Same.
It's like, maybe I'm totally off base on this.
Oh, no.
And anything you ask them, yeah, their excitement level and some things you know is not going to be exciting things. So you can kind of gauge that it's not going to be the most earth-shattering moment of their entire lives. However, it is really great to just kind of see the reflection of personality and what kind of lights them up. Again, just brief period of time. So you have to just assess all of that in a short period. So one of the things, kind of a side note of that, you know, you need something on the resume, again, back to the resume, that is like, huh, I wonder what that was all about. Maybe it was a study abroad, or maybe it was whatever. Like, well, what was that for? And why was that? You know, again, if they're maybe a junior BA, you might have some curiosity about what was it that drew them to that? And how does it apply maybe to this position, or maybe it doesn't, but just to get to know that person a little bit more. It's kind of a fun way to get them to open up.
Nice. And I really gauge people's intellectual curiosity, not only by what they say, but by their body language. So if they say, yeah, I did, I went to Italy, and I, versus if they say, I went to Italy, and you know what? Every place you look in the city of Rome, you see some sort of piece of art. And if they light up and they lean forward and they want to tell you about something, they probably have that propensity for, when they want to figure something out, going for it and digging and finding out everything about it and trying to apply it to what problem they're trying to solve. So,
yeah, that enthusiasm can be, what's the right word? Because, I mean, it kind of lifts everybody else up, right? Being around that enthusiasm gets everybody excited as well. It's
infectious.
Infectious, contagious. Yeah, exactly. And that can make for a great teammate and somebody that you truly enjoys solving problems and digging in. And that's obviously what you're looking for. So
I agree. The body language thing is important. Like you said, if they're kind of, oh, well, I did this, you know, versus, like you said, they lean forward and maybe they start talking with their hands. That's always a good indication. I do it often that they're, as I know, right? I got to put my hands down underneath me because I talk with my hands a lot, which is why my phone flies out. Oh, nice fall. For all of you that can't see that, Paul is having his hands do the puppet thing back and forth. And now he has a sleeve over his hands. So it's even more entertaining. This is why Paul does a podcast, because he makes all of us laugh. But I think watching for those little cues, those micro cues from somebody, whether it's their eye contact or their eyes light up, a face lights up, little things like that can tell you a lot about the question that you are asking. You can tell it's uncomfortable, I think, for them to answer a specific question. Maybe it is somebody that is more reserved, that isn't as expressive as maybe what I am. But you can still tell if something in that, as a more reserved person, is making them uncomfortable just by little cues in the body language. I don't know if anybody else has noticed the same thing.
Well, the other thing, going back to what Peggy was saying, was that, you know, once they get excited about talking, they're actually a lot more relaxed and you can get a lot more information from them than you can at that point as well. They're a lot more forthcoming on everything.
Yeah. It's kind of like those icebreakers that you do. You want to get them relaxed and you want them to open up so that you can get a more honest, genuine response from them, which helps, again, it just helps your ability to gauge versus everything being scripted and premeditated and rehearsed, right?
In Focus 2025 is coming, and you're invited to the J.D. Edwards Event of the Year. Join the JDE community, Oracle product teams, and industry experts in Denver, Colorado, Tuesday, September 9th through Thursday, September 11th, for 3 powerful days of learning, networking, and innovation. Save extra when you register a group of 4 or more. Dive deep into key topics like Release 25 and 26, Orchestrator, AI, Automation, UX1, and more, all designed to help you get the most from your J.D. Edwards investment. Visit questoraclecommunity.org/infocus to learn more and register. That's questoraclecommunity.org/infocus. We hope to see you in Denver. Is there an icebreaker or question you guys do start with to kind of help put candidates at ease? Is there something you do? Maybe it's not a question. Maybe it's just, how was your weekend? I know that's a question, but is there something like that where you might do that to maybe help bring them into the mix at a more easy level that they might feel more comfortable to be able to answer the questions?
I think I already gave mine away.
Get dog and cat. Yeah, true.
Dog and cat. Yeah, yeah. And Rochelle's just going to joke about documentation. So
okay, well, the first question we ask, how much do you like documentation?
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
Are you a recovering accountant?
Right. We're done.
This interview is over.
You know, when we come into the room, it's just definitely, we try to be the 3 to 4 of us who come in, like be as much relaxed and with each other coming in. So we're not like silent when we come in there. We're all kind of introducing ourselves and just kind of keeping it pretty low key so that we can kind of ease into it and just let them know that, right, you're intimidated. So you can just like bring that down a few notches and just be able to breathe a second and, you know, continue on with the rest of the interview.
Well, and walking into a panel of people can be very unnerving for people. It's one thing to have one interview with one other person, but to have 2 or 3, 4 people in the room, it's like, oh boy.
Especially if you're not prepared for that and you've not been told that. You know, I more so on the recruiter side, if that has not been shared with them, that's a style. We've had that happen before. So it's definitely something that can be intimidating. And so you don't know what they've been told. And so just to put people at ease as best you can and just kind of interact and engage as your own team too a little bit so they can kind of get a little bit of the personality that we have. Like, hey, what you see is what you get here. And so you be you, we'll be us, we'll be cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not my closing statement.
I love it. Darren, how about you?
So when we start the interview, we kind of introduce ourselves first, and there's always some kind of a joke or chippy comment going back and forth amongst the panel before it even starts. So they realize right off the bat that we're kind of in a joking nature. So hopefully they relax at the same time and kind of want to joke along with us as well.
Got to make them feel comfortable.
Well, I suppose you don't have to. I mean, so you don't just put the spotlight on them and interrogate that. Got him. Yeah.
We tried that, but they tended to leave just as soon as we asked the documentation question. So we're trying to keep them in there so we can get a little bit more justification on the position as well.
That's great. I love it.
I'm looking through, as we went through the questions, I was kind of jotting down those skills from problem solving, attention to detail, communication, respect for documentation, or that kind of goes into the attention details with to vulnerability, technical skills, ownership, emotional intelligence, which includes active listening, and then intellectual curiosity and whatnot. It's a lot of skills to look for. That's a lot of attributes to pick out in a, whether it be a 45 minute or an hour time span. But were there any that I missed that you can think of?
Not that I can think of.
I think that checked all my boxes.
Yeah, ditto.
Oh, awesome.
No pressure during this process at all.
None.
Right.
None
at all.
Zero. So are we recording this episode for those that are going to be interviewing for BAs or for the people that want to interview to find BAs?
Or both.
Or for business analysts to know what hiring managers are looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's always helpful to know what types of questions other people ask as an interviewer. Mm-hmm. There might be things where people are like, oh, I never thought about asking that type of question. That's a really good question to ask. We only know what we know through what we're exposed to in our own worlds. And so having a podcast like this allows people to gather information from outside their normal world, if you will.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of value in understanding what are the attributes and what are the skills people are looking for, but also how to identify those skills. Like what sort of questions can you ask to attract them, which tells the person that's maybe curious about a BA position, not only what to be prepared for, but maybe what to focus on as far as your background and your prep. And like you said, it's also great for all of us to just be sharing as managers and leaders. What are we looking for? How do we get, there's always different techniques. You're never going to know it all, right? So it's fun to hear the different approaches that people have to extract the information and really isolate those specific capabilities that they want to know about. So that they're looking
for. And how they go about it. I can tell you that my experience interviewing at Cardinal was very different than my experience interviewing at Brightview. I can't even remember. It might have been 8 different interviews for this job. Well, not for this job, but for my senior business analyst role. And I was like, you know, after they kept showing up on my calendar, I was like, how many different interviews do I really need to go through? I'm so confused. Either I'm in or I'm not.
Right. That might be a future episode of having gone through the interview process for a BA position at multiple companies and having whatever experience, because I know the experience at Cardinal was great and you were sad to leave. And the experience at Brightview has been challenging. We'll just say that to be polite. And was there anything in that interview process that would have enlightened you, like you wish you would have asked? So maybe a follow-up to this episode is, what are questions that BAs that are getting interviewed, what questions can they ask to their potential future employers to make sure that they're going to be a good fit and to make sure that those employers are doing the things that really support that BA community, whether it be the processes, the procedures, the upward advancement, the team element that you guys all describe? You guys work as a team. Well, how do I, as a BA, if I'm getting interviewed, get you to share that with me? How do I get that and confirm that, right? So it might be a follow-up.
Yeah, I like that idea. So if your staff would like to be on podcast, just let us know.
And we like brutal honesty. I hope you do.
Right?
I hope you do too. Yeah, I would think that one of the, you know, as having been a business analyst in a different sort of an environment before, I think some of the things that I would want to ask if I was interviewing for a business analyst in the J.D. Edwards environment is whether the company provides or allows for participation in Quest Oracle community or in gives us resources like some of the learning platforms that are available or gives time to go to a class, a virtual class or to conferences and that sort of thing, because I've been really pleased and I think it's helped our business analyst group tremendously for our company to have those resources available and to just continually learn and understand what's coming out next and taking advantage of the functionality that J.D. Edwards allows with the upgrades. So if I had the choice of the job, I would choose a company who provides those resources versus one that doesn't.
One that supports your growth and development.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what I picked up on there too, I mean, it is the growth and development 100%, but the recognition that the piece of software that you're dealing with is continuing to evolve, which means the people that are working on it and working with it need to evolve alongside of it. Does your organization recognize that, respect it, and invest in that? Because otherwise, you're probably going to be stuck. I mean, not only as a BA, but the product itself isn't going to be fully leveraged. Sorry, coming from the product side, I have to get that out there. So,
yeah, I agree.
I've been asked that during an interview. One of the business analyst candidates came back and he said, so I've been at companies before where I worked there for a few years and all of a sudden management decided we were going to go with a different direction or didn't really support it. Does your company actually support the ERP system that you're utilizing? And are they on board upgrades with enhancements to keep up with what's going on?
Awesome.
That's a great question.
That is a very, very good question.
Mm-hmm.
Got some sophisticated business analysts out there.
Yeah, you do.
It shows, definitely shows that level of awareness, right? Wow.
Yeah.
They're paying attention to you when you speak on the stage. So just so you know, they're not sleeping out there when you're doing a product review. They're actually listening.
I love it. Note to self. All right. Don't try to pull the wool over people's eyes. I won't.
Just a little at Packer stuff and we'll be better. We'll be okay.
Wow. Go Pack, wow. Go.
Hey, there we go. Sweet.
Not you, too. It's because Nebraska doesn't have their own pro football team.
Well, true. And I did live in Wisconsin for a few years. So, you know, it is hard to live in Wisconsin and not be brought into the Packer universe. Really is.
That is true.
That's false. I love it.
She was not convinced with that response. Wow. I mean, I don't know many Vikings fans that came from outside of Minnesota. I mean, you're basically forced into it. You know, nobody voluntarily says, you know, I really like that purple and horny guys running around that have never won a championship that choke every year. I love that team. I want to be a fan of that team. Yep, that's me. I'm on board. The heck with the Broncos. Let me move up and boom. So let's go up north there, eh?
I think there are a few northern Nebraskans that might gravitate toward Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Vikings.
Minnesota. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Minnesota.
That's because they like corn sweat.
We covered that in our Midwesternism just yesterday. Corn sweat. You can listen to it on the next episode and hear all about it.
I'll have to hear it.
Yes. It's a good one.
But now that you say that, it does sweat.
It does.
It does sweat.
Yeah. More than you would realize. An educational session for Paul.
Well, and the beauty about the Midwest, and we'll put Nebraska in there, is that it can be so quiet that you can hear the corn grow.
That's true. I grew up on a farm in the middle of Nebraska. It is true. You can hear the corn grow.
I mean, I've had people like deny that. And I'm like, I'm telling you, it is a thing.
It is true.
Like even my mother said when she was growing up in Nebraska that at night you could hear the corn grow. And Rochelle is not convinced.
I am. I'm farm kid.
Okay.
If the crickets are too loud, you got to go in the middle of the day. Late June, early July, the best time.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. I mean, having grown up in Minnesota, I spent plenty of time on a farm back in the day. And so I grew up in Rochester, Minnesota, and my house did not have air conditioning, did not have central air. We actually didn't have even window air conditioning. And we lived just up the hill from a major highway. And then a mile from us was St. Mary's Hospital, which is where the Mayo Clinic helicopter lands. And I had a fire station within a mile of two different directions from a house. So I couldn't sleep in the country because it was so quiet and I could hear the corn grow. You know, it was so quiet for me that I couldn't sleep because I was used to so much noise around me at night. That was like my white noise. It was so comforting to me that when I did go to the farm, I was like, I couldn't sleep.
Like, what's going on out there?
I know.
So charged.
I need like music or a fan or sirens or something going on in the background because I can't sleep.
Yeah, back then they didn't have Calm for your app that you could just say, you know.
They did not.
Tell me a sleep story. Read me a sleep story because I can't sleep.
Oh, well, let's tell you about the Vikings football season. Snore.
You laugh, though. There is a Calm sleep story that reads the football rules.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, yeah. We got to look that one up.
I know.
Look at that. Do they have one for the golf rules? Because that would be even worse.
Oh. Especially if there's like golf clap and golf voice. Oh, I'd be out. They need that. That's a good point.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, I'm going to send them a note. Anyway.
All right. Well, we should probably thank our guests for being with us today. We kind of covered the Midwesternism, I think, without even.
I think we got a lot of. I think we can go with that.
Yep. That was awesome. Very
yes,
cool.
Thank you guys for joining us today and having this discussion on interviews. Obviously, everybody is hiring at some point. It is very helpful to have resources out there for questions that you might ask or for things that as a BA, maybe I'm a younger BA, what are these companies looking for when they ask these questions? So I think that's helpful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I appreciate you all three sharing different perspectives and helping us educate everybody on various ways to go about this and what to look for. And also, if you are a BA, what to ask about. That's awesome. Kind of rounded it all out. So thank you all.
Yes. Thanks again for having me. I'd like to give a great big shout out to my amazing team. Hey!
We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Darren, Peggy, and Rochelle. For questions, feedback, or ideas on future episodes, contact us at thejdeconnection@questoraclecommunity.org. Until next time, let's keep learning, sharing, and most importantly, laughing together. Toodles!
See ya!
Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.